Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney with a couple of friends here. We have Mr. Will. Hello.
Somebody say my name.
And Mr. Cole.
I can't top that hello, so just hi, everybody.
So, we're going to talk about Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the beta. I've been playing it. I don't know about the other two dudes, but... We're also going to talk about the Untitled Goose Game, which came out on Friday. And we also went to this VR place called Sandbox VR yesterday. And we've been there before. We've chatted about it before, but we'll chat about our experience. And it's going to be great. Right, Cole?
Oh, it's going to be so great. I'm excited. You excited?
I'm pretty excited. What about you, Will?
I'm excited.
All right. Okay, here we go. Right now. Yeah. Again. I did it again. All right, everybody, welcome back. So let's chat about our VR experience. Let's change a song because this song's really annoying.
It's upbeat, it's bumping.
This song's called Night Shift. So since we're all tired, since we all just got up.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, let's just do this Night Shift song. All right, so. All right, so this VR place, basically you go in, you sign a waiver, and then they talk to you like you've never done it before. Even though you're like, I've done this before. You're like, okay, and they just go through all the motions again. I thought that was kind of annoying, but whatever. So they strap on these wristbands and ankle bands that have motion tracking things on them. Put you in a room and then put all the gear on you. So you got like a chest rig that and a backpack that like simulates you getting hit. So I've seen ads on Facebook for those things. I'm sure you
what do you mean seen ads like to go to them or seen ads for like buying one of your own
backpack things?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I've never seen that.
Well, all I do is talk about video games, so my phone is always beside me, so marketing phone listening to you.
Google's just like, this guy needs some backpacks for VR right now.
Yeah. Anyways, they strap that on, they put the headset on and the headphones with the microphone. And, then they turn it on, and it's like... Oh, I won't do the feedback thing again. But, they turn it on, and then you're in this white room, and you can see your guys' avatars, which is literally just, like, Slenderman, like, type avatars. But then you choose what kind of... what you're going to be, like, if you're going to be a defender or an assault person, which is the particular game that we played. It was Amber Sky 2088. So, yeah. What happened next, Mr. Cole?
We picked your avatar, and you get to have your gun. There's, Rodney was saying, you get a machine gun or you get a pistol, and then Will and I were playing as defenders, so we got shields. And you could throw the shields, which is pretty crazy. The whole time you were explaining how to do this, I was like... Just saying it is one thing. We had a friend of ours who was there for the first time. We were trying to explain it to him, but you can't really... understand it until you actually go and do it for the first time. It's so surreal how like good the 3D looks or the VR looks, And yeah, they you get to pick your avatar. They drop in, do a little practice shooting. They like put up some targets to make sure that you're all working and up and running. And then you get to fly into a game and do some cool stuff. Which one? What game do we do, Will?
What do you mean? I thought Rodney just said Amber Sky 2088.
Yeah, but what does that entitle? What were we doing? What was the story? Give us light in our eyes.
Well, from what I could tell from the story, the planet, I think that was Earth, because it said New Hong Kong, Tokyo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Basically, the world's been taken over by an alien invaders, and the human, I don't know, I didn't even see one human other than the one guy that was talking to us.
Yeah, we were all robots.
Yeah, androids. Basically, sacrificial lambs.
Yeah.
Just send the AI to the slaughter. If they survive, great. If they die, oh, we'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll build them again, and then we'll project ourselves and give them orders in astral projection form versus actually just going there.
I thought for sure that the guy giving us instructions was going to be evil. We had to like save this package and deliver this package to a spaceship, and I thought the second we got that pack to the spaceship, he was going to be like, "I'm actually evil. I'm working with the aliens."
Yeah. So the game, you're in a very small room, I guess. It's like 15 feet by like 25 feet. And so the six of you, or it was the five of us, are stuck in there. And it gives you very clear boundaries in the game on where the edge of the playing area is. Like, it gives you a little bit of a buffer. So if you run over the red line, you don't just smack into the wall, which it would be actually hilarious.
I'd still
pay
to see someone.
Yeah.
Smack into that wall. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're in this little room. We're getting attacked by aliens. And yeah, we're shooting our way up. And oh yeah, so if we held our trigger down on our gun, it was a flamethrower.
Oh, that's how that worked. Yeah, the assault rifle had a flamethrower on it, and you could switch between the two. And I was wondering how you switched between the two, because I never had a.
You had a little pistol.
Machine gun.
Yeah.
No, we just had the little pistol on our shield. But
the pistol
every time
was great though.
I always noticed my guy was on fire, so I don't know who behind me was rocking the flamethrower. No,
they had friendly fire damage. They had a stat in there for friendly fire.
Oh, I could tell, because I was like, all of a sudden I see flames, and then my screen's going red, and I'm like, oh, I'm about to die.
I'm shocked we only died twice. Like, we took so much damage.
Yeah, but it was those lasers. Like, when the characters who had the shields could deflect like big projectiles, they would shoot like big blobby projectiles at you, and then there was this red laser beam, and we could not block the laser beam, which just like wiped our team twice.
Well, the first time we tried to with the shields, the second time we didn't even see the laser coming.
Which is kind of
duck under it.
Yeah. It was kind of shocking that we didn't see it the second time, because it's just this giant fucking thing going on, like this big thing's about to shoot a laser beam. Yeah. Yeah, but no, it was a lot of fun. It was relatively shorter than the pirate one we played before.
Did we talk about the pirate one? We
did a little bit, but not didn't go too into depth. But yeah, it was. So we were in a tower, and this elevator starts to go up, and Christ, we all felt it. We're in a room that's not moving, yeah. But like holy yeah, I thought I was gonna get motion sick.
The campaign, yeah, you start an elevator, you have to get up to the top floor to get to your ship to deliver this package, and when the elevator went up, you actually felt like you were going up in an elevator. We're just standing in a green room, and then a few times the elevator would fail, and it would fall down.
That was freaky, with the fans going and everything, my body felt like we were literally free-falling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the going up felt a lot better than the falling down. Like, when we started to fall, like, I didn't feel the rush of your stomach going up to your throat, you know? It was just kind of like... It felt like you were falling very slowly.
Well, the elevator was partially working, I guess.
Yeah, until we got swarmed by aliens.
Yeah.
What were they? They were like cockroaches almost, like these big...
like praying mantis type things?
Yeah, they were very bug inspired.
There is a theory that there is a insectoid type alien race based off of the government lying to us. But yeah, there's
Area 51. Oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, we should talk about
Area 51. Was it yesterday or was it?
I think it was yesterday.
It was Friday, I thought.
It was Friday. Yeah, I think it was Friday.
Anyways, I saw there's an interview they're doing. Some guy was like reporting to the newsroom, and then some guy Naruto run in the background. I fucking died laughing.
Oh yeah, I saw the Naruto run.
That guy's a hero. That guy's a national hero. He needs a medal.
I can't believe they're actually doing it though. But hey.
Apparently only a couple hundred people showed up anyway, so I mean, they weren't even close to finding out anything.
Yeah, it basically just became a fan event of like-minded of individuals that believed in like Area 51 conspiracies all just hanging out together.
Oh yeah. Okay, so no one's getting shot, that's good.
No, if it actually turned out the way like all 500,000 people showed up, then it would have gone into a slaughter.
I thought there was like 2 million people who said they were going.
Well, yeah, but only only 5,000 people would actually take a time out of their day to go do this.
Ah, that's still enough though to like overrun the army if they're not willing to open fire, like use lethal arms.
Yeah. Well, hey, they're gonna take them in, down. They'll let them go into Area 51, and then they'll become test subjects.
I never thought about that. Just like open the doors, let them in, and then you never see them again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn them into aliens, grow their heads and their arms, and turn their skins gray.
Yeah, and then release them into the VR game.
Yeah. to have us shoot them? That's a Black Mirror meta right there.
Yeah. yeah,
but the aliens, they were people.
Yeah, but they were... that was a lot of fun, that Sandbox VR game. Yeah, I would good. Definitely go again.
I liked the pirate one a bit more because it had the puzzles and stuff. It kind of got you a little more engaged, where this one was just a full shoot 'em up.
And even the shooting it up didn't... I feel like the pirate shoot 'em ups lasted longer. Like, we were fighting like waves of skeleton, where this, we would just like kill a few bugs and then move on. I felt like we were doing much more combat and more puzzles in the...
We were on the elevator for most of the fucking game.
Yeah, half of it was just like, oh, up, no, down, the elevator's going down. Up and it's falling.
Yeah.
You know what would be super fucking awesome is if they got a warehouse, like a super big warehouse, and then did that game, like that sort of setup where you're...
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, you feel very claustrophobic. Like, there was five of us and we felt cramped, and there could have been six.
Yeah.
But so, having a huge space would be super cool.
I was always worried about like running into someone or smacking them in the face with my shield.
Yeah, we had to like defend. Will and I were the shield bearers, and then Rodney and Adam and his girlfriend Cheryl, they were the gunners, and we had to defend against these fireballs. But we couldn't get past everybody to get to the fireballs. We kept in.
I just tried to keep the shield above my head.
Yeah, every shield bearer for themselves. The assault. Okay.
Well, and then everybody's talking over each other like we do on this podcast. But you know, like I'd be like, "Oh, here comes a fireball, heads up," and then no one would hear me because we're all talking about shields and guns and flamethrowers and shit. and then I'm just literally watching, like it was literally a scene out of a movie. I'm watching this flame ball like approach us, and I'm like, "All right, well, we're dead."
That's the funny thing, because when we got taken out by the laser the second time, it started on my side, so I was the first one dead, and I said laser, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm the only one that's gonna die and everyone's gonna have to revive me. Next thing I just see everyone drop. I'm like, I said fucking laser.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Oh yeah, after that fireball hit, Cole goes, "Whoa, what was that?" I'm like, yeah. So I want to do the zombie one, and we'll see if we can get the footage with it so we can make a YouTube
video. They were very protective of their footage.
I want to try they got a Star Trek one coming out. That one looked kind of story oriented a bit more, and the PvP one, the Ultimate Fighting League.
I want to do that PvP one.
It's gonna be good. Let's move on here. So let's talk about the Untitled Goose Game by House, and so it's a comedy stealth game. Comedy being because you're a goddamn goose, and goose are awful. And it's a puzzle game that you walk around and it'll give you a list of a to-do list essentially, and you have to try to get all these things to happen. So you got to figure out how to make that work within the world. So you start off. It was the same area that we played in the at PAX a few years ago, Will. But
was a fun game. That was just last year.
It was a lot, yeah. And yeah, so you start in that same area that was in the beta or whatever, or not the beta, the demo. And yeah, so you walk around and on your to-do list, it's like have a picnic. And so it says bring these things to the blanket, to the picnic blanket, and then it'll give you a bunch. And there's a bunch of them are inside this garden where there's a gardener there. And so yeah, you got to trick him. So as soon as you pick up something, if they're nearby, they'll notice that you've picked it up, and then that item's icon will appear above their head, so you know that that's what they're looking for. And then they'll chase you. And then as soon as they get their thing back, they'll put it back to where you got it from. So to get a multiple amount of items, it takes a little bit of creativity to lure them away so that you can get your item and bring it back to the picnic blanket. So yeah. It was, so yeah, that was one area, but there was a bunch of areas. But holy crap, the second area, Will and Cole, it was just so frustrating. It was a little shop. It had, like, toys, a little dry stock shelf, had umbrellas and sunglasses and then some fruit and vegetables and stuff, and toilet paper. And this lady was so rude. Like, how dare she not let me take what I freaking want? But yeah, like walking around and she's like, oh, it's the goose, and grabs a broomstick and starts like shooing me away. Like, but
is you're actually talking in it, or is there like, no, is it like a,
no, I'm
Charlie Brown.
It's kind of like no, there's no talking in it. The only thing that makes noise is me when I have my honk button going.
Mm.
Yeah. So this lady, I actually grabbed her broom and broke it because she's like shooing me. I'm like, fuck you and your broom, lady. And I like grabbed it and we fought, and then I broke the broom.
So that's cool. You yeah. said you wish the game was a little bit longer.
Yeah, it was really short. It was I beat it. My stream cut out, so sorry if you guys were watching. But yeah, I played for three and a bit hours and I beat it. But there's some post game. Like I was getting kind of bored. Even streaming it, I'm like, I'm gonna keep playing just because I'm streaming it. But I was getting kind of bored playing it. It was a very slow paced game for sure.
So it's not one you want to sit down and beat all in 3 hours. You can actually take your time and yeah. And where did you do all the side stuff as well?
I did most of the side stuff. There's a couple things I couldn't figure out how to do, like or yeah, because there was one thing in that second area that I was just talking about. It said make someone buy back their own stuff. So I took the there's a kid in the same area that had glasses and the whitest fucking pasty legs I've ever seen in my life. And yeah, he was playing with this little toy plane. So I made him drop the toy plane, and then I scared him into the phone booth, and he locked himself in the phone booth. And then I took his toy and I put it beside the toy area in the market, and then the old shop lady thought that it was hers, so she put it back on the shelf. But he wouldn't go and buy it. He wouldn't go buy it back. So I'm
he
like,
was still locked in the phone booth?
Well, and he let himself out. But yeah,
can you customize your goose, or is there only one?
No, I think it's just only the one goose. But later on in the game, you can get a ribbon put on your goose.
Oh,
yeah, it's good. Well, that was kind of dumb though, because this lady has a fake goose with a ribbon on it in her garden. So you take the ribbon off, and then you drag this fake goose into the bushes so you can't find it. And then you literally sit there and pretend to be the fake goose. And she's like, "Oh, hey, the ribbon's off," and she puts the ribbon on you.
Oh. That's fun. I mean, it looks really crap. I've been looking at some videos and some pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks
yeah.
very creative. I love the graphic style, like the way it looks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's
don't even know what to.
It doesn't have any dialogue or anything, so it's very nice how they made it all into its own self-sufficient thing without relying on dialogue.
How
did
much
you
is
get
the game?
To scare?
What's that, Will?
When you put she put the ribbon on, did you scare?
No, I stayed. I stayed still. So, but Cole, you were gonna say something too.
I was gonna say, yeah. How much was the game? If I wanted to buy this, how much would it be?
Right now, it's $14.99 American. So I think it's $18 or $19 Canadian.
And you played it on the Switch?
Yeah, I played it on the Switch. So, in the second area too, yeah, this kid with the glasses. One of the to do's was make the kid put on the wrong glasses. So you stole some glasses from the shop, and then you put them down, and then you untied his shoelaces and tripped him, and then his glasses fell off, and then you go and you get his glasses and then run away with them, and then he puts on the wrong glasses.
Let's go. Those are some funny puzzles.
Yeah, and then the most frustrating thing about the second area, which is funny now that I'm not playing the game, but I hated the shopkeeper lady. Like, I wanted to like trip her and untie her shoelaces. But anyways, so in this area, it says go shopping, so it gave me a shopping list, and I had to get all these items. And there was a basket nearby, so I had to put everything in the basket. But obviously, if this lady sees the things in the basket, she's just going to start taking them all back to the shop. So I had to hide the basket, and I had to hide her broom. I was about done with that fucking thing. So I hid those two items, and I got basically everything, but the only thing left was a toothbrush. And it's like, you know, I'm like all over the shop and all over the map, and I can't find this freaking toothbrush. It was like 30 minutes of me looking for this toothbrush. And there was a garbage can near my basket, and I tipped that over, and some eaten apple cores came out. But what I didn't know was the toothbrush fell out, and it was underneath the lid of the garbage can, so I couldn't see it.
Oh, was it like a mistake, or were you supposed to notice that and lift the lid?
No, I think it's just how it landed, like, because the lid fell off, and then these things fell out of the garbage can. I think it was just how it landed. But yeah, anyways, I drug this garbage can over to the market because I was trying to get on the counter. And then this woman like sees the garbage can, shoos me away, and then puts the garbage can back where I found it, and then finds my fucking basket full of shit. I'm like, good God, lady, fuck off. Oh, yeah. So, it's the hardest area is the pub area for sure, because there's this angry burly man that just chases you around everywhere, and it's really hard to shake him. And then up in the actual pub area is this like old lady that, or this, you know, a pub wench, I guess.
Is it a British game?
I think it is a British game because it said loo paper, like in the market. So I think it's a British game.
Yeah, we don't have very many big burly British blokes at our pubs.
We don't have town wench, the bar wench here. So
missing out.
Yeah, we got hipster, lumbersexual types at the bars, pouring our drinks.
Very Canadian, the Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah. So. I'm actually curious to know if our American listeners know what a lumbersexual is.
Oh, well, we gotta show them. Post a picture of your lumbersexual self on online there, Roddy.
Me? Fuck, I don't know anything that's plaid. and I can't grow a beard to save my life. Actually, you know what? I'll ask Boris to put on a plaid shirt. Will, and
That'll work. That'll work.
Yeah, that'll work. Basically, they look like a lumberjack, like they're dressed like a lumberjack. They got the plaid fucking shirt and the overalls and all that, and then but they're very manicured, and that was the wrong word. They're very manscaped, like they have the beard, but the beard's like nicely trimmed, and they usually got like a top knot, maybe sometimes even a top knot. Yeah,
they're not the rugged. Kind of out in the woods cutting down trees. They're more of like on the fashion show, on the runway.
Pretty much, yeah.
Rodney, if we wanted to watch you play this, what do you stream? I don't even know what your stream is.
I haven't streamed in like a long time, but I streamed it to YouTube and Twitch yesterday because Mixer's being dumb.
Oh, hey, that's right. You'd always stream to YouTube. I forgot about that.
Yeah. If it's on, I'm just going to open YouTube right now. If it's on there, I'll just make it live. So you guys can see me playing it and see me talk like freaking Gilbert Godfrey, because that would be the perfect voice for the goose.
I can't even do a Gilbert Godfrey impression.
I mean, mine's pretty bad. I mean, it's probably better than yours, but...
the man of many voices.
Yeah. So my stream was only an hour and 52 minutes. It is online, so... I'm just going to make sure that's muted.
Goose Game, Untitled Goose Game is here.
Untitled Goose Game is here. Rodney is an ass. Okay, go to 20 minutes flat, and you'll see me chasing the little kid around with the kid with the glasses. but anyways, okay, let's move on here to Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So, Will, you haven't played.
No, I haven't had time. I'm just working on one game at a time right now.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, I know Cole hasn't played. He's been playing Borderlands or whatever. So,
yeah, Borderlands 3, baby.
Cool. So yeah, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It does go back to the roots. I've been playing. It's just the multiplayer beta available right now. They haven't really chatted about the campaign story yet, which I'm quite interested in. But I have the Goose stream playing, and literally at 20, or sorry, just before 20 minutes, I am getting him to put on the wrong glasses. Alright, so... Anyways, here's how I feel about Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I'm a little mixed, as I generally am. because it's the same old, you know, song and dance as usual. But oh my god, I fucking tripped him so hard. But the maps aren't that impressive to me. Like, there's no, like Adam was saying yesterday to us, Will, like, there's no, there's no geography design. Like, it's all just a bunch of fucking boxes.
Boxes, and you go running around in a square, and that's it.
Yeah, and then as soon as you spawn, you can either go left, right, or center. And it's like, that's literally every, every map. It's just, you know, like, think of iconic maps from, like, Halo, like Sword Base. Like, Sword Base is, like, a fucking amazing map, and, but, like, what makes that good is, it has multiple levels, right? There's only, you know, it's, I don't even know what made Sword Base good. It just was a great frickin' map.
Sword Base was the one with the two bases on each side and the big valley in between?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had the lift room that everyone went to. That was, like, the main, like, basically the main objective, unofficially, was everyone just go to the lift room and then just kill each other.
We're meeting in the lift room at 3 o'clock after school.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that Call of Duty, all the maps are kind of really meh. So I think their level designer needs to kind of step it up, in my opinion.
I like how they call it Modern Warfare because there's already Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
I wonder if they're just gonna do the exact same campaign. That'd be kind of shitty.
Is it like the multiplayer? Was it pretty much the same as the original, or is it anything new? Do they add new maps?
They're new maps. There's one map that reminded me of another map from Modern Warfare 2 or 3, but anyways, the multiplayer did add, like, the customization for your guns is actually a little, is new and nice. You know, it's not just, like, skins and cosmetic stuff, like, it actually affects, you know, how everything works in the game. So, like, for example, but you have to level up your weapon, right? So it starts at level 0, and you have to get a bunch of kills with it to level up, and then you get, so say it's, like, level 2, then you can put a muzzle on the gun, and then it'll increase, or it'll reduce the flash rate, but it'll decrease mobility or something like that. It'll tell you the pros and cons for each little attachment. So that was kind of cool. I like that. You can choose your operative skin. What else do they have on there? God damn this shop lady, dude. Are you watching the stream, Cole?
I was. I'm not anymore. I'm on to Call of Duty now. So it's funny if you're still
watching it. I'm just, this freaking lady's chasing me with a fucking broom, and I just want to trip her so bad. Anyways, okay, I'll close that so I can focus on
Modern. I'm back in 20 minutes here now. I'm watching you.
All right. Anyway, so the game felt pretty good. You know, they've updated the visuals. They say it's the best visual experience in Call of Duty history. Well, I fucking hope so.
The worst visual experience in Call of Duty history.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things that I didn't like about the game, but it's the same as every Call of Duty. Like, I hate kill streaks. I hate that you're rewarding the people who are dominating the fucking map with even more ways to dominate the map. So that's frustrating. I think
I would always feel the pressure every time I was on a kill streak, and I would always mess it up. You know, I'd be like, "Oh, I'm on a kill streak, can't mess it up," and then that's when I would get killed. So
yeah,
but I'm probably just one of the few who wouldn't continue to dominate after being on a kill streak.
Yeah. I think the game, the matchmaking was, I'm not going to say it was broken, but it was definitely fluctuating. Like, I think it was trying to find the people that I was the best, not the best with, but, like, my group that I fit in with my skill level and stuff like that. Because the first couple games I got rocked, but I still got, you know, 6, 7, 8 kills, which is pretty good for me on Call of Duty. And then later on, I played a game and I absolutely dominated. I got 25 kills and I was just on a fucking roll. And then, yeah, so it was.
You were loving the kill streaks then.
Well, but I didn't have anything worth my time, because I was so low level, right? So I only got my. You get a personal UAV now, and then the team UAV, and then I had a strike missile. That was my kill streaks.
But, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of kill streaks that you can unlock the higher you level up. But
It looks like I'm watching some gameplay here. There's a lot of vehicles too, which is interesting, guys. There's like tanks and ATVs and helicopters and stuff.
That's a different mode. I'm just talking about the standard multiplayer mode. So I was going to get into that. So before we get into that, that's called Ground War. Actually, let's just talk about it now. So
Ground War was the one with the vehicles.
Yeah, Ground War was the one with the vehicles, and it's a massive. It's a 32 versus 32 player, basically capture the flag. Or capture, you know, whatever the... Yeah, capture the flag.
Capture the objective.
Capture the objective, yeah. And it was a massive map. It was huge. But, so there was five different objectives to capture. And so, obviously, as soon as the game started, your team started on the complete opposite ends of the map. So you each captured the two objectives closest to you. And then the third one would just turn into a fucking turf war. And, like, it's on a bridge, and the only way to get to the bridge is from the third level of the buildings on either side. So it was just a huge firefight for this bridge, and you'd stick your head out for about a millisecond and get fucking shot. So it was rough. But you didn't have to go through the bridge. You could go down to the first floor, cross over to the other building, and then go up the third floor, and then wreak havoc from there. So that was really cool, that singular objective. Because it gave you a lot of different options on how to basically capture the objective and take over the other team.
Mm.
So that was cool. They need to do more of that sort of level design. Not just...
Yeah, that's... I mean, sometimes you don't want to play 32 versus 32. You want to go back to old school. But yeah, that's kind of a cool game mode.
Yeah, this map felt like it was from Battlefield. Like, it was... This map is actually really well designed. There's a huge perimeter on the outside that's a road. So, like, if you wanted to move your tank to the other side of the field, you could. Some people just stay up there and camp snipe. But there's so much buildings and cover on the actual battlefield that it kind of has no real value. Right? Mm. Like, you might see, like, two people pop out for, like, 4 seconds. And then if you're not ready, you lost your opportunity. So... yeah, so they have a huge road on the outside of the map. They got lots of different buildings. The flags are, like, semi-covered, so you always got to basically build a little deployable cover.
You can't just carpet bomb the flag with your missile drop or anything.
Yeah, I mean, some of them you can, but, yeah, there's a couple that you definitely can't. Like, you definitely, the Turf War one that I was just talking about, you definitely can't carpet bomb that one, because it's all covered. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
They love their industry... levels, you know, like everything is like a warehouse or a facility, you know. I wonder how they're gonna diversify where you play in.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Ground War was super cool, but I'm not about the big team stuff. It's just there's just too much going on. That's how I feel. But
yeah, and that's like Battlefield. Call of Duty, I feel, is very like specialized, you know. It's all about special squads and highly trained teams, you know. So the smaller games are just as important as the big ones.
Well, if you're wanting to get a military simulator, here you go. That's pretty much it.
Call of Duty VR.
Yeah.
Running around on a treadmill in your VR. Like going with the fans going.
Going back to the warehouse thing we were talking about earlier, like if that was a Call of Duty game, was like you go there and you put your shit on and it's just this big warehouse and you're playing as like a Call of Duty dude, that'd be super fucking cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Not running into anybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could just go play paintball too, I guess.
Yeah.
How's the toxicity?
I didn't hear a lot of people talking, honestly. So
the kids weren't on. It was too late. They were all in bed.
Well, they can't afford the beta, so. But yeah, it was okay. You know, I got pissed off just from a couple things. But actually, you know what? That was the one thing that I noticed about this game is sometimes, most of the time when I play Call of Duty, I get pissed off just from the amount of fucking bullshit that happens. But I didn't really encounter a whole lot on this game.
Yeah, like they always do, like what is it? Priority for hosts.
Yeah,
like you guys start shooting at the same time. Hosts get priority and.
Yeah, shit like that. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot. Like, you know, I'm like, okay, cool, I died. And then you'd see the kill cam, and you're like, all right, cool, you just got a quick, you know, he got a little bit of a head start on me. Like, because I'm usually running, so it takes me a second for me to get my gun back up. So yeah, that kind of surprised me, to be honest, that I didn't get as mad as I usually do when I play Call of Duty.
Did the game feel complete? Was there anything, like, were you clipping through walls, or was there any, like, bugs where you're flying around, or did everything seem like it was quite grounded?
No, dude, it was pretty polished. I mean, the game comes out in a month, so...
There's a lot of games that come out, and you're like, this should not have come out yet.
Yeah, but no, it felt pretty polished. But, I mean, at this point, they've been using the same engine for, like, a bajillion years, and it's the same fucking game. Packed. Yeah, so... yeah, I had a good time playing it, so if you guys want to play it with me, let me know, and I'll jump on.
Cool.
So it'd be nice to try it out with a couple friends, actually.
Yeah, I feel like the harder thing for me is, like, I'm trying to make the videos and stuff, but I feel like they're just not as interesting if you're playing a game like this and you're not playing with people. Like, I did some footage of playing Borderlands 3 by myself, and I just was watching it. I didn't really find it that engaging or that interesting, but the second I kind of played with somebody, it was more engaging. So it's like, yeah, definitely playing with people nowadays is much better than on your own.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This game, if I'm playing by myself, will hold me over for at least a couple of hours. But yeah, it's way better if you play with other people.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I could play video games on my own. Like, I could just sit in a room and play anything for hours and hours. And it's a little bit different now. I like playing with friends and people more now.
Well, everything's designed around the online component now. Like, they have, you know, they have a whole team that works just on the online stuff. Whereas before, everything was focused on optimizing the experience for the one person.
Yeah, which is, it's all money-based, you know? It's like, I feel like you should still kind of concentrate on the single person, but yeah, multiplayer is where the money is.
Well, so, have you got, Cole, have you noticed that Borderlands 3 is an always-online game?
No, but you were saying that yesterday.
Yeah, it's like, I feel they're just throwing it at you now, like, I still prefer sometimes, especially in a story-oriented game, that I don't have to rely on being online. Like, what happens if your internet's shitty or something like that?
Yeah.
But you still want to play the game?
Yeah. And then sometimes you can't play the game, you know, if your internet sucks, then you can't play it.
Well, so I get, like, Borderlands 3 is a cooperative game, but you can play it solo, so it shouldn't be an always-online game.
Yeah, and you were saying the experience was different when you turned it offline, or you were gaining more experience when you were on your own?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, the game is a lot harder than the previous titles. I find playing on my own, like, I beat it last night, and now that I've gotten, like, better guns and stuff like that, even the boss fights are a little easier. But if I was, like, to jump back in, create a brand new character or something like that, I'd still kind of want someone to help me out a bit, as it's kind of challenging and frustrating, like, dying over and over again on a boss.
I was just going to say, Will, like, I am thinking about buying Borderlands 3, so maybe I should buy it and download it, and then we should play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you guys are playing on Xbox?
Yep.
Got to get that cross-compatibility going.
Actually, speaking of cross-compatibility, Call of Duty has the cross-play beta right now as well. So
I saw that, yeah.
People are a little pissed about it, though, as it's they're going the same way Fortnite did it, with, like, you have to add their Activision tag.
Well, do you want fucking cross-play or do you not want cross-play? Like, what the fuck? Make a fucking decision already.
Mm-hmm.
I think... like, it should be a no-brainer. Like, crossplay should just be a thing. Like, if, you know, like, look at you and Mark. Like, you guys are always playing on PlayStation, and I don't fucking have a PlayStation. So,
well, that's the whole thing, is they want you to buy a PlayStation. They don't want to do cross-compatibility, because then, you know, you can have nine people buy an Xbox, or nine people buy a PlayStation, and then only one person buy the other one, because, you know, you don't have to go out and get the game. It's all about money, man. It's all about money and the war.
Yeah, but if they don't keep the consumer base happy, we're gonna walk.
But that's the problem. That's the problem. It's the same with movies, man. It's that they don't. Like, the Star Wars movies are unacceptably bad. Like, it's just, it is not okay how bad those movies are. But millions and millions of people are just gonna go see it because it's Star Wars, you know? It's like, that's why we had 6 Transformers movies, because people just went to go see them. You know, that's why they keep making Fast and Furious movies. I mean, I think it's never going to stop. You're going to say, if you don't keep the consumer base happy, people are still going to buy video games, you know, unless there's never going to be an ET moment, you know, on the I can't remember what platform E.T. was on when it, like, crashed the video game market.
Wasn't that Atari?
Yeah, Atari, yeah. I don't think that's going to happen again. We got too many people out there who are gonna do it anyway.
Yeah. It's becoming pretty industrialized, the video game industry, and it's, I think, we're losing the... Like, the same thing with the movie industry. Like, we work in film, we fucking see it all the time, you know? Like, it's different working on somebody's passion project versus working on a fucking, you know, multi-million dollar TV show.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes they do a really good job on the multi-million dollar TV shows. It's like the middle range one. It's like the 2 to 5 million, you know? When you're pumping out a ton of money, usually it's a little bit better when you've got no money. A lot of times it's passion, but right in the middle where most of the TV is, you know, it's everybody's making those daytime TV shows. That's the one where it really fails in quality.
Yeah. And yeah, the more money they get, they just seem to throw more equipment that is somewhat unnecessary, like big features. Like, I remember Planet of the Apes. It's like, do you really need that many fucking lifts?
Like, and I love the Planet of the Apes, the War for the Planet of the Apes.
I worked on Rise.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked on Rise back when it shot out here, and it was actually super fun. It was nice to see. This is now turning into a movie podcast, but it was nice to see how they did it. So they had so Andy Serkis was there, the guy who plays Gollum, and he basically owns he owns mocap, basically. So he's kind of like the world leader in motion capture.
Yeah, he played like King Kong in the Peter Jackson King Kong movies and stuff. Like he's the mocap guy.
Yeah.
He's the face of it. He plays Snoke Star Wars, or he played Snoke.
Yeah. But before I get into what I'm going to say, the really shitty thing is that they don't classify motion capture as like acting. So Andy Serkis like can't win a award for his work as. But it's like
But if you do that, then I mean, like, Andy Serkis is different, right? Because he's actually like a really good actor, and they get these good actors, right? So like they base the mocap off of their facial movements. But I mean, even if you're terrible at it, they can pretty much make your face look however they want. Even though Andy Serkis is killing it and doing a great job, somebody might come and do a terrible job, and then all the credit goes to the mocap guys. It's not the case with Andy Serkis, but it could be the case with, you know, 9 out of 10 actors. So I think it is necessary that they couldn't win an award.
Anyways, back to my story. So we're on set with Rise of Planet of the Apes, and Andy Serkis and his group of crony monkeys are wearing all these gray suits, and they got motion tracking stuff on them, and they all have these half crutches. So like they're like running around on these half crutches, and it was actually really funny to watch. But I remember watching that scene, which took like 3 fucking days to shoot. It was super annoying. It was literally like 2/8 of a page, and
that took 3 days.
And it took 3 days to shoot. Well, one day it was raining too hard for the mocap suits to work, so they just wrapped. And then the second day, it was too dark in the woods to shoot, so we didn't get first shot until like 7 hours after crew call. It was silly.
Crap.
Yeah, it was silly. And then the second day, all I remember was it rained so goddamn hard, and then we all worked a 18.5 hour day. And at the end of the day, we're picking up, like, the muddiest of muddy plywood. And then all the production assistants win $5 Friday, which is a little gambling game. So there's, like, 25 PAs, and the pot was, like, $800. So we're like, yay, we got $40 each.
$40 each.
So, yeah. Yeah, so if you're listening and you're curious about more stories in the movie industry... let us know on Facebook. Maybe we'll do a little special.
God, we've got so many stories.
We got stories for days, and we'll do it for our Patreons. So there's a couple things we can't tell you on the air because we'll get blacklisted, but we'll tell you on our Patreon page. It'll be great. So yeah, check our Patreon page out. Get free access to or early access to podcasts. You can check out our live streams, and you can hear about the movie industry. It's gonna be good.
Speaking of Andy Serkis, though, like, and the Academy Awards for him to win something, a lot of people now have been also saying, like, stunts should be added to awards.
Aren't they?
I agree with that.
I do as well, because it's a dangerous industry, and it's basically a lot of the movies rely on stunts. Like, you're not going to see an action movie without that stunt actor.
Yeah, in the movie Dragged Across Concrete with Mel Gibson, there is a part when he's like, there's a little bit of a shootout at the end and he gets shot and he falls off this car. And it was a great movie. But then I was working on set and his stunt double was there and was telling me all about how he had to go do, like, he was getting the one falling off the car and doing all these things and how exhausted he was the whole day. So, yeah, it's not even, wasn't even Mel Gibson. I mean, Mel Gibson's getting old, but yeah, this guy was doing all the heavy lifting. Where's his award?
Yeah. So for Andy Serkis, he's also a really good voice actor. As you know, he's done video games as well. He was in Heavenly Sword. He did Risen. He did Enslaved, Odyssey to the West. He was in the Lego Lord of the Rings and Hobbit games. He did, can't remember, a game in a couple years ago. And then he's also in doing Squadron 42, which is a spinoff of the Star Citizen franchise that's still coming out. But like Squadron 42 here, let me bring this up here. It's a story-based single-player campaign set in the Star Citizen fictional universe. It's considered by the developers as a spiritual successor to Wing Commander. The cast for Squadron 42 include Gary Oldman, Mark Hamill, Gillian Anderson, Mark Strong, Liam Cunningham, Andy Serkis, and amongst others. Like, that Jeepers. Is a star-studded cast for a video game.
No shit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Gary Oldman does, like, he's done a lot of Call of Duty voices, and then, I mean, and there's Mark Hamill, who does every voice acting in every video game.
I saw a really funny thing about Gary Oldman. It's like, could you imagine walking around doing your everyday life and then someone yells cut? That's what being Gary Oldman's like.
Just living life. Yeah he's
well,
good.
Well, he's so, no, they're saying he's so fucking good at becoming whatever character he is that it's like, it's a seamless transition.
Yeah. And he played the Russian in World War II, in Call of Duty World War II.
Yeah.
The, I can't remember his name. But he's so good.
Yeah, he's great. And Travis Willingham, who also does voiceovers for Funimation, he does a lot of video game stuff too. Him and Laura Bailey, I think, as well, who's his wife. He did motion capture stuff actually for Battlefield Hardline. He was one of the guys there. And the whole time I was like, that guy looks like Travis Willingham. And then the credits came and it's like Travis Willingham. I was like, fuck. All right. But yeah. So
yeah, Laura Bailey's been around for years. She's really well known in the video game industry, especially for Cole here. She also plays Kate Diaz.
Yep.
Sorry, I was in another world.
Laura Bailey, who Rodney brought up, is also the voice actor for Kate Diaz for Gears 4 and 5.
Oh yeah. She's in that game that you were talking about, the one with Andy Serkis?
No, Rodney just mentioned, like, talking about, like, voice acting in, like, movies and games, right? Like, she's huge into games.
Mm.
I feel it's kind of a little off of the movies, but the Academy Awards, maybe they're not going to do, you know, mocap stuff, but maybe they should do an award for, like, everything.
I don't even know if... I mean, I guess the Academy Awards is the most watched, but I think there's other awards too that they can do it in. They're already trying to weasel down on things. You know how they're trying to get rid of the award for best cinematography?
And yeah,
people are freaking out. I don't know if they want to make it any longer. You almost have to have another prestigious award ceremony that includes these things.
You want to hear something interesting about the Academy Awards? The whole reason they made the Academy Awards was to stop actors from unionizing.
Yeah.
And they failed, obviously, because the actors are all in the union. So, but yeah, that was the main reason to give them rewards or awards and just to make them feel like they're super fucking great. And
you guys are so special.
Yeah.
So special.
Anyways.
Yeah. I do believe, though, in the Academy Awards, just like for our Video Games Awards, which is coming up in December, the Game Awards 2019, there should be a category, though, for excellence in, like, voice acting. Like some of these like
excellent
animation
voice acting, man. You could pitch that, Will.
I'm just saying, like, even some of like the Disney Pixar stuff, people, it's not just like the animators that make the movie. The voice has to match.
Yeah, they have the best animated features, animated shorts, but definitely, yeah, there needs to be a little bit of love for everybody else too.
Like some people really go all in with their voices for the shows. Like he doesn't really go all in; it's his normal voice. But can you guys picture anyone else in the role of Woody?
Oh, that's funny that I was thinking about that. Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
yeah. That's weird that I was also thinking about Tom Hanks the entire time you were talking about that.
It's just I can't picture Woody as any other voice than Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's funny how you think, you know, you kind of think it would be easy. Have you guys ever done, like, voice acting or voiceover stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, heck, even doing the podcast when you're making videos, like, the second the camera's rolling and you gotta do your speech, you know, it's or read off your little script that you read, it's tough. It's tough to keep interesting. And
well, I did actual voiceover work and training and stuff, so the prelay is what it's called when you do the voices before the animation. It's for the westernized. Well, yeah. No, that's dub. That's dubbing. But yeah, prelay is for like western, like so any show that is made and developed in the West, they will animate to the voices versus like if anything like anime comes over from Japan, then you're gonna dub over it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's the same thing they do a lot with the video games as well.
Yeah, they probably do all the capturing and
they
stuff.
They pre-record a lot of the voice overwork and do all the motion cap and then just animate over it.
Yeah, but anyways, what I was going to say for Cole is, so you'll go through each scene, right? You'll run, and each line is numbered, so they'll be like, okay, we're going to run, you know, 1 through 30 or something. So that'll be a scene. So whoever's in those scenes will stand up, and the other cast will sit down in the recording room. Yeah. It's a huge recording room, and there's like 10 microphones set up. So yeah, you'll stand up, and then yeah, you got to basically, you can do one or two takes on it if you want. Like, you know, you'll do something, and if you don't like it as the actor, you can do it again quickly. And yeah, the engineer will fix it. Poor engineer, because I know his pain, because I'm fucking doing that shit right now. So so the director, whoever, will be in with the engineer, and he'll come over on the talkback mic and say like, oh, do it again, try this, and then you do that, it's weird trying to keep that voice down, and then you just have your bottle of water on like in your hand, just ready to fucking power back some water, because yeah, voice,
you don't want to be that dry throat guy.
Yeah, there's some, like, I mean, I'm pretty mediocre in terms of voice work, but there were some people that I was working with, like incredible voice actors. Like there was one guy, he did this like old lady voice, and it was so good. It was so freaking hilarious. Like I'll try to find it so I can show you guys later. But yeah, it's so good.
So you gotta do, man. Just gotta practice your voices. Driving your car to work every morning, just practice your voices.
Yeah. If you're looking to get into voice work, it's a pretty competitive market out there. Try to go for commercials, radio commercials, because they pay the best. But just for practice, what I used to do is I turn the radio on, and then the radio ads would come up, and I would literally say what they were saying and exactly how they were saying it on the radio. Like, so they'd be like, "Coming
so
up
totally
now."
Unengaged and disconnected from an actual human audience.
Yeah, pretty much.
I hate radio ads. I think they're so like, just, I don't know, not funny and not,
they're
like, I don't want to buy anything.
They're
that's
super scripted and super fucking, yeah, I know what
there's
you mean.
There's some old man like, I'm going to sell this hammer by Sims, you know, like I find them just the worst. I skip that, but that is actually a really good way to practice. Sorry, Ronnie, I'd cut you off. I had to get my hate for radio commercials out there.
No, I know what you mean. It's like the CEO of the hammer company, like, if you come buy a hammer, then I'll give you 20% off. It's like super shitty. And then
hey, you're smart. Yeah. You want to build something nice, don't you? I am smart. I do want to build something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other one is super over the top. Like, whoa, vacation time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love vacation time.
Yeah. 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 So, I don't know. It's really fun. I like doing voice work still. But it's pretty dry right now. They always just use the same, like, 12 people.
Yeah.
On the ads, so.
The Hollywood effect.
Yeah.
Hey, another question.
Yeah, especially in video games. They just recycle the voice actor over and over.
Yeah, when you got Nolan North doing 100 voices, you just voice every character in the game.
Actually, sorry.
Every character, yeah.
Going back to what Will said earlier about not imagining anybody else playing Woody, like, what about Mario? Like, I mean, a lot of you people can impersonate Charles Martin, but, like, when he goes...
Wait, Mario's fictional?
Yeah, when Charles Martin goes, like, we're just gonna get this half-hashed fucking Mario impersonator. That's gonna be super shitty.
Not just Mario. Mario, Luigi, Wario, Waluigi.
The entire Mario universe at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. They probably have so much recorded woohoo that we're gonna be used in...
It'll just be recycled over and over again.
Well, yeah,
he's only ever voiced the original game, and then they just used that that footage for all the other Mario games.
Well,
Mario says about four things every game.
I know, but if you think about, like, each game has its own, specialty, like, voiceover. Like, Odyssey has, like, a specialty voiceover. So, like, I'm just thinking about that kind of stuff. I mean, I guess, fair enough.
Just cracking jokes. I think that, that the voice actor for Mario is, I mean...
I like
crucial.
Have you ever heard the story about how he got the role as Mario?
Yeah, the great big story has a little like 3-minute documentary on that. What is he? He wanted to go in something different, not just being like a regular plumber. But
well,
you tell the story.
Yeah. Okay. So I can't remember what he was doing, like what he was working on at that point. But yeah, he went into this audition and he was the last guy to come in. And they're like, he's like, hey, I'm here for the audition. And they're like, just packing up their shit. And they're like, all right, sure, yeah. Like, we'll, you know, we'll put everything back on and we'll get you in there to do an audition. And so he's in there prepping and he's like, you know, what kind of voice am I going to give this guy? He's an Italian plumber. So he's thinking like, oh, butt crack, fucking this voice, right? And then he got on the booth and then basically the voice of Mario came out. And they're like... That was fucking awesome, perfect. Dude. Yeah, that's it. And they're like, he's like, oh, okay, so yeah, now...
And it was all Japanese executive, right? So they, like, didn't even get a call or anything to know if he got the job. They were just like, come in and do some more, and then that turned out actually being the whole recording of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. What
do you think his royalties are like?
Oh, dude. Oh, you want
he
to hear something?
He's like the nicest dude in the world, too. He probably doesn't care about it. He doesn't do it for the money. He does it for the woohoo.
Yeah, for sure.
That makes him feel good.
I heard something super shitty yesterday when I was talking to the directors in the van. So, the Lion King. So, obviously, the new Lion King. You would think that if they're reusing stuff from the old Lion King, that the old Lion King people would get residuals from it. But whoever wrote the original Lion King in 1994 was not a part of the Writers Guild of America. So they don't have, they're not entitled to any royalties. So the new one, they basically rewrote the script pretty much word for fucking word. And the old guys are getting fuck all. They're getting nothing.
It's the same thing with Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, it's not fucking fair. That's bullshit. Change two
words.
A
lot of them were trying to sue Disney over it, but yeah, they're not even getting royalties. And one guy was like, okay, well, if you're not going to pay me now that you're remaking The Lion King, how about giving my family some free passes to Disneyland? They wouldn't even do that.
Oh, Disney's a bunch of fucking criminals. I hate them.
Mickey Mouse, man. Mickey Mouse is gonna rule the world one day. Unless Star Wars Land bankrupts them.
Okay, this is going to get me blacklisted, but I'm going to fucking tell this story before we sign off. So... I worked on an ABC show, which is basically Disney.
You don't have to see the name of the show, and you'll probably be safe.
Yeah, okay, that's probably it. Yeah, anyway, so I worked on the show. It was for ABC, and So I work in locations, and we sometimes, instead of people taking our money, they'll say, can you just donate to, like, Children's Hospital or something? Like, you know, I don't care that you're here, but, like, I want some money to go for the Children's Hospital. Which is, like, totally cool. So, yeah, we'll draft up an agreement, and then we'll send it to them, and they'll say, we're not taking any money, but we want you to send money to Children's Hospital, whatever. Anyway, so we went to get this agreement drafted up, and the Disney legal slash risk management said that Disney doesn't donate. Disney doesn't donate? Disney does not support donations. That's what they said. It's like, dude, fuck you and the fucking mouse you wrote in on.
What?
I'm pretty sure Disney is just a bunch of corporate scumbags.
Well, that's all it is. You know, like, I mean, I don't know what Walt Disney himself was like. Like, maybe he was
apparently he was the worst guy alive. He, like, he hated all these, like, ethnic groups and stuff. Like, he was, he died. That's what the Bill Burr special said, is Walt Disney died at the right time to continue being a hero. If he kept living, he would have been a guy, you know what I mean? He would have been this old guy getting in trouble for being super racist and super, like, sexist. And, you know, like, he was terrible.
Interesting.
And now it's just a CEO-run company. Yeah. Or not CEO, but a board.
Yeah, it's just
and all they care about is money.
Yeah, they're
and that's the thing is they have more than anybody else on the planet, and they just care about getting more. It's insane.
Yeah, they're what's wrong with the country for sure. Well, one of the things for sure. All right, guys. Well, thanks for a lot for listening. Let us know your thoughts.
On a happy note.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think of the show on our Facebook page. We've been gaining some traction on that, so that's good. Same with on our website, videogamesnow.ca. And like I said earlier, check out our Patreon, and we will potentially release some more goody-goody movie behind-the-scenes-ness for you. So, Cole?
Thanks for listening. I don't know what you asked me to do. Am I doing goodbye? What's going on?
Anything else to say? But I mean, you could do the outro, I guess.
No, I don't want. I'm scared. You do it.
Hey, you stole the intro from me one episode, so don't even fucking say that.
I did. I was thinking about that. I won't do it again. I'm too shy now.
I was thinking about that as I'm plugging everything in this morning. I was like, fucking Cole taking over, going, I'll do a better job.
I keep waiting for him to do it again.
I know.
I gotta shake it up. I'll do something new. Don't you worry.
All right. Okay, well, thanks a lot, everybody.
Well, it seems like Rodney's screwing up the intro. Look at it's two times in a row now he's used, like, the warp.
The fucking warp drive sound effect, yeah. All right, Kate, thanks a lot. we will see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.